Welcome to the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. Shaping Portsmouth is a collaboration of key Portsmouth businesses, transforming Portsmouth together.
Hello and welcome to the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. This week Amy's talking to Lauren Bumstead and Kev Sadler from the Careers and Progression team from PCC.
Welcome Lauren and Kev. Lovely to see you.
Thank you for having us.
So today we're going to be chatting a little bit about the Employability Academy. So would you guys be able to just give a little summary about what the Employability Academy was?
Perfect. Yeah, no worries. So the Employability Academy, it's a six-week programme. It's held at the Civic Offices down in Portsmouth on a Monday, and it's just in the afternoon slots. It's a couple of hours a week that people have to engage with. So 6 weeks programme, and it's basically designed to support care experienced young people who are currently either at risk of being NEET, which is not in education, employment or training, or who actually are NEET. And it just aims to improve young people's confidence, their personal awareness, develop some practical skills required basically to access employment, education or training. So a lot of employability content, and it's going to be interactive, it's inclusive. It's also delivered in collaboration with you guys and local employers as well and partners. So yeah, real fruitful program held over 6 weeks.
A bit of everything.
It's an exciting program, and yeah, we've had some really good outcomes.
Setting everyone up for success.
Always.
Amazing. Very exciting. So kind of first of all, what is your role at the PCC? Like, what do you guys do?
So the Careers and Progression team predominantly have two main streams to our work. We offer and deliver traditional careers guidance in schools. That's mainly to year 10s and year 11s, but it can also be year groups of year 6 upwards. And that's a traded service with our school partners. The other part of our work is supporting our young people in the city who are NEET, so those who are not in education, employment or training. And we work with young people aged 16 to 19, or up to the age of 25 if they've got education, health and care plan, or if they're care experienced.
So a big old spread of ages.
Massive spread of ages, and we cover the whole city. So anyone who's living within PO1 to PO6, we can support to explore their options, review careers guidance, and kind of just get them on a path that's a suitable match for them.
Yeah, and you guys have quite a relatively small team as well. Like, there's not many of you that do a lot of big activities.
Yeah.
So, like, Kev approached me on, I think, my second day at Shaping to talk about the Employability Academy you wanted to set up for care-experienced young people. And it was kind of just yourself that went in and made that and put that all together, and then we just helped find the employers for it. But kind of what... was there just, like, a push that you really wanted to get care-experienced young people more involved with employers in the city, or kind of how did you start setting it up?
So the care, the Employability Academy was birthed, if you like, through an idea from Sarah Daly, our Director of Children's Family and Education. We were noticing trends within our NEET figures that they were on the rise, and if we break down that data, it's predominantly care experienced young people who are struggling to maintain the kind of education, employment or training, and that figure was rising. So we were looking at the data and identifying the gaps. So we used to have a advisor, Anne-Marie, who worked on the team, who was predominantly supporting care experienced young people or children we care for. And it was an idea about putting on a specific program that was bespoke to that client group to make sure they had that wraparound support. And we were really hoping to move away from young people engaging in short-term, maybe zero-hour contracts that maybe then bring them back to that cycle of unemployment again and move on to a job opportunity or a career with some longevity to it. And we knew that care-experienced young people may face more barriers in the workplace or getting into the workplace. We'd had conversations with the guys from the Care Covenant Toolkit, and we were just exploring what needs were there and what barriers were there. And we thought, actually, if we put together a program that was more specific, more targeted, and with that employer engagement, actually, hopefully young people would find those meaningful opportunities and move on to a positive destination.
Which is why we want everyone in the city.
Which is really what we want everyone doing.
Get that NEET problem down.
Yes.
So obviously it started with Jodie Goodchild. And a lot of good things came out of that session. I think she was a great person to have straight away. She really struck a chord with a lot of the young people there. And she was kind of very inspirational as well. Shared her background a lot about kind of goal setting and how you need to know yourself and set goals that you want to do rather than goals that maybe people are pushing for you to achieve rather mm-hmm. than what you want to achieve yourself. And then we moved on to a panel. We had people from Gunwall. We had an apprentice from South Western Railway that was really good. And then obviously, Kev, you delivered the third week, which also went down really, really well, really smoothly. So those first 3 weeks, do you reckon there was anything that you think, you know, what employers could actually really benefit from this and benefit in getting involved, even with the panel kind of side of things?
Yeah, I think from my point of view, it's really exciting coming into this role. I've been in it since March, and obviously this was a project that was given to me, so really keen to get my teeth into this one. Obviously with that intention of just helping young people increase their sort of confidence, personal awareness, think about their skills, and obviously that goal setting at the end of it as well. So to run it over the 6 weeks, I sort of had an idea in our heads in regards to what sort of model we wanted to do. So the first sort of couple of weeks were all about understanding themselves, and we had some practical activities that worked really well as icebreakers, but also teased some, you know, quite personal sensitive information out of the young people.
Yeah.
So they got to know themselves and think about their strengths and things like that as well. Like you said, when Jody came in, that sort of reinforced that goal setting attribute, and I think it's really important for the young people to know what options are on the table as well. So that second session is really about, let's know your options that are sort of in our city, what is actually available to you.
Yeah.
I think you need to know that, and young people need to know that, because if you don't know what's available, then it's really hard to make those effective, you know,
yeah,
conscious decisions. So, but yeah, moving on to that week three, it was what makes you employable. So it's thinking about if you sort of cluster everything together that employers are looking for. It's it was your skills, it's your personal qualities. It could be anything you've studied in regards to sort of qualifications or certificates, or just your own knowledge and understanding of things,
yeah,
as well as that little sprinkle of experience as well. So popping all those four sort of ingredients into the mix is,
yeah,
is what makes you employable. So we had a good sort of a session on what makes you employable. The value of the employers coming in is that they could share their own stories,
yeah,
and listen firsthand to employers about what they're actually looking for in,
yeah,
young people. So having that input from them was super important for the program, really.
Yeah, and even the experiences that they've had going into the workplace, because I feel like a lot of the time it is pushed. You need to get really, really good grades, and then you go to university, and then you go into the working world, and then you climb the ladder. And mm-hmm. for a lot of people, that's not what's happened. So I think emphasizing that with like employers that have become really, really successful and haven't necessarily taken that traditional route was really important, and it really kind of reinforced that actually I can do this. I don't have to have had the best school record, yeah, or I don't have to go straight into university. I can kind of do what I want and figure it out. And
start at any point as well. I think,
exactly,
you know, your career trajectory doesn't have to be,
it can all change,
planned at 16 and be,
yeah,
that's it until you're 68. Like, no,
exactly. Like Yvonne came in and had a little chat about how she's got a master's in engineering and now she's centre director of Gunwharf. So
yeah.
Like, it really does just show that, you know, the thing you train in isn't necessarily what you're going to do for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And then we obviously moved on to workplace expectations. We had Terence from Delivered Social come in, talk about social media and how that's actually really important.
Yeah.
And how it can really impact your job opportunities if you're not necessarily saying the best things on social media. And also Sarah from Citizens Advice came in, delivered a really good session on finances. Even I found quite helpful, to be honest.
Yeah. I agree, yeah, two really, really, you know, strong sessions that went on. I think,
yeah,
this is what made the academy work, really, because we've done some sort of underpinning bits at the start of the sessions, and then,
yeah,
it was always reinforced by sort of employer input. So the fact that we were lucky to have Terence come in and look at people's digital footprints and how,
yeah,
it could potentially impact, I don't know, applying for jobs, recruitment, selection, that kind,
yeah,
of thing, was really sort of hard hitting. And you could see the young people's sort of faces while he was delivering, thinking, actually, I am digesting it. So
yeah,
you could see it sort of landing pretty well with some young people.
I think that's a real key message for that generation as well. They're such a digital and technological using generation. And we're all so familiar with using it day in, day out without even noticing half the time.
Exactly. So and actually, employers will track you down.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, they'll see what you do. Yeah. Like Terence was sharing a story about how one person commented on one of his posts ages ago, and it ended up transpiring that he then didn't get a job because of it. Because it was just a nasty comment. So I think just emphasising that message with young people, that really does resonate.
And that was why also the money side of this session was really key for us. Mm. We had conducted some like co-production meetings with our care experience young people and asked them what they wanted, and budgeting and help with finance was a theme that kept coming up, particularly for young people who are care experiencing, maybe receiving universal credit as soon as they become of an age, but then moving into employment and housing and all the impact on their money and the stress that they can put onto them at a young age. So having that kind of budgeting session was really important for us to make sure that they feel they could manage it. And like you say, I think it's helpful at any age because
I was loving the session. I was sat there taking my notes. I was given a little budgeting guide. I was like, I didn't even realise I was paying for all these things. So so it was really helpful for everyone, I think. And then obviously, Lauren, you were in the week 5 session with Carrington West.
Yeah.
And Daniel O'Brien.
Yeah, from Citrus.
Yeah, big old session, interviews and CVs, which is probably good to keep all in the one session.
Yeah, blended really well together, actually. Yeah. And it was really interesting to get the feedback from employers.
Yeah.
And for the young people to hear directly from them, actually, this is what we're looking for in a CV. And this is why a first impression does count. And it doesn't need to be this big, scary, overwhelming moment. It just can be a smile.
Exactly.
And, you know, putting you at ease.
Exactly.
And it was really nice for us as careers practitioners as well to hear that what we tell young people is the right employers want as well, and that we're still doing the right CV formats and such.
Exactly.
And there were some really useful hints and tips in there for our young people, you know, when considering like recruitment and the use of AI and how actually approaching employers directly or going through their website rather than perhaps a website like Indeed, where you could have 100 clicks and some of those could be bots or not real people, and your application gets lost in the system. So actually taking the time and the effort to approach an employer and almost go old school with it and do those speculative inquiries makes such a difference.
Oh, massive. And even the whole don't be scared that it says you need this amount of experience, because you can flip those skills and you can just be like, well, I might not have direct experience, but
I can do this
yeah. this and this, and so I'd still be great for the job. Because I think especially at a young age, when you don't really have much experience, it's so hard and it's so, like, it kind of almost feels embarrassing, because you go into the CV and you're like, oh, well, I'm going to be up against those people that have loads of experience and I don't have any, so why would they pick me? Like, what's the point?
100%. And I think even at this age, I've looked at job adverts before and thought, it's probably a bit out of my league, and I've not applied for it, when actually I probably could have just shot a chance at it and just, like you said, unpicked my skills and experience and may have led to a different opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. And especially nowadays, like, it's just a numbers game.
Yeah.
And you've just got to keep going and keep pushing.
And confidence breeds confidence, and having the courage to do it sometimes.
And once you've done it once, you can kind of do it. You can do as many as you want. You've got the confidence then. And then just talking about the outcomes from the session, obviously we had some amazing employers come in and chat. But the young people did amazingly well as well. Like, all of them are either in employment or some sort of
education,
mentorship, education, which is amazing.
Amazing.
Such
we couldn't have asked for a better cohort, really.
Yeah.
It was really successful. And the young people seem to really have taken on board some of that feedback from the employers. I think maybe more so, Kev, than us. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's just listening to them is really inspiring for the young people. Yeah. So much so that, you know, we started with a number and 2 or 3 didn't come back for week 2, but that was a positive thing, because they actually took inspiration, a bit of confidence from what happened with the goal setting from Jodie, and they actually found work within week, you know, early on. So although the numbers that returned for week 2 were a little bit less, it was for positive reasons.
Yeah.
And like you said, some of the outcomes are great. You know, we got people now going off to college to do animal care, or another college to do like an electrical course, or you know, we're setting up some work experience for a young person just to develop their confidence before build them up before they enter the world of work and stuff like that. And you know, one guy's come back to me this week, so the fact that he's accessing our service is really, really positive, because he was tough to engage before. And obviously build a rapport with them on the program, and then you know, you've got a relationship with that young person, you can help coach them and move them forward. So he's coming back in this week, actually. So some really positive outcomes there. But
but
listening to the employers was the biggest sort of takeaway that they could have heard and took on board as well.
Yeah, it's just nice to have that real world input sometimes, because sometimes I feel like when you're listening to a careers advisor, you guys are great, but like, obviously, if you're not wanting to go into the council, you're not wanting to go into a field, you'll kind of listen to someone and be like, okay, well, what do you actually know about the sector? Yeah. Like, why should I listen to you? And this just shows why they should listen to you guys, because you're very great. Good at your job. Yeah. and like, outcomes like that can happen.
Yeah.
So are you guys planning on hosting a second one? Like, what's the plan there?
Most definitely. Kev and I are meeting tomorrow, aren't we? Kev, to look at the diary and plan some dates. We're thinking possibly end of October, early November, run it right up till kind of the Christmas period.
Very exciting.
So we are very keen for any employers to reach out to Kev and offer their support. Yeah, definitely. And see if there's any slots or sessions that they would want to support. I think we're probably going to run the same kind of format again, because we feel it's worked well in terms of the order and what we did cover, so we'd like to continue with that. But we're always seeking opportunities from employers for work experience, aspirational visits, career tasters, coffee and a chat.
Yeah, who can resist a coffee and a chat?
Exactly.
Even today, we've come to Spark, and I'm sat there looking at the cake.
They look really good.
Yeah, the cheesecake today. I might have to have a little slice after this. But no, like, even the employer feedback we got was amazing. Like, so many employers came back to us and were like, it was great, we can't wait to do another one. Like, we'd love to be involved in this initiative. Because I think employers as well don't really get much of an insight into the more vulnerable groups of people. So for them, it's great, because they're like, actually, even though maybe these young people don't have as much experience, they have all these extra skills, and they've had all these other life experiences that maybe people that come from a more privileged upbringing wouldn't have. And they're able to just adapt to that, and they'd be so much, no one's better than anyone else, but like, they'd be amazing in our workplace and in a certain workplace. And I think it's just as valuable for employers to go to these sessions and to help out and have a chat at these sessions as it is for the young people.
Absolutely. And I think even if an employer then walks away from that session thinking, actually, maybe we need to look at our recruitment process and make adaptions to support young people.
Exactly.
Maybe look at a values-based recruitment rather than just qualifications and grades. As you say, these young people can offer a lot to the workplace. They've got skills, they're resilient, they're endless skills, which is why we built in that skill session, because it's really easy for any one of us, if, you know, at an interview and they say, tell me your top three strengths, we all sit there and go, oh, I don't know, I'm not good at anything. When actually...
Or where do you plan on being in 5 years' time? I have no idea.
On a beach somewhere,
hopefully. What I've found is it's really nice sort of safe space for them to engage as well, because some of them opened up and... you know, trying to tease, you know, what skills people have got, and, you know, selling their own strengths can be a little bit difficult. But once you get to know them, you get talking to them, and one guy sort of, you know, his Xbox is, you know, broken, he's fixing repair that, you know, he's automatically got his practical and problem solving skills, and another guy was fixing bikes in his garden or building escape ramps. So they have got the skill sets. It's just knowing how to sort of interpret them, and then, you know, talk about how they can transfer them into other ways of working and things like that. So,
and even recognising that they are skills, they're not just hobbies. Like, you could have a million hobbies and be like, oh yeah, but I've not got any skills. But no, you have got workplace skills. Yeah. You just need to tease them out a little bit, as you said.
And that comes out with the comfort of the programme as well. It was super relaxed. There's refreshments,
I took advantage of the snacks.
But even like from the onset, when you sort of do the get to know yourself stuff, when they come back to the end of the programme, when they're looking at the progression and the one-to-one moving forward or next step sort of plan, they've already done some things where they've, you know, they're looking at their hobbies, passions, interests, all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's quite nice that you can, you know, the advisor doing those one-to-ones can pick up on that and then start doing the linkage to the world of work or sectors and things like that as well.
Exactly.
So it's got quite nice, although the employer stuff is great, that top and tail bit is really good as well.
Yeah, nice to have a flow. And also to recognise that you're not just a number.
100%.
And you need to think of yourself as more than just, oh, I'm just a number for an employer. Like, you're not, you're
a person. An asset.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you want to, you're basically interviewing them just as much as they're interviewing you.
It is definitely a two-way process. Yeah. It's sometimes reminding the young people that you will go to interviews perhaps where you feel it isn't the right match, and that's also okay.
You're allowed to say no.
Yeah.
You're allowed to be like, actually, I don't think that this is going to be right for me. And that's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. But no, really exciting stuff there with the Employability Academy. And then quickly, there's also the Neat Zero, Aspiration Neat Zero, that you guys are currently helping work on as well.
Yeah, partnered up with the DWP, and we're hopefully going to be getting our own employer youth hub as well. In partnership with our team, to again help our young people who are in receipt of universal credit access the employment market in a fruitful way and supportive way as well. Yeah.
Which is amazing. And there's another stakeholder group at some point in the next few weeks as well. So hopefully there'll be some movements in that that program, and hopefully some big actions being made.
Yes.
Getting the neat problem down.
Yeah.
So finally, just to round up. At the end of every Shaping Portsmouth podcast episode, we ask the guests what their recommendation for Portsmouth would be. Kev, should we start with you? What's kind of your favourite thing in Portsmouth? What would you recommend something?
I've got two favourite things, really. I've got one where I'm surrounded by a lot of people, and that's got to be inside Fratton Park when they're on their way to picking up 3 points. That's an exciting, best place to be for me. But also, if I'm on my own, just I like to do a little ride round of the whole city. So of a morning, don't mind stopping off at the Still and West there and just having a look over the water, park my bike up for a minute, and then just enjoy the sights of the
nice view over there.
Yeah, it's good.
The sights of Gosport, Gunwall,
everything. Yeah,
bit of everything.
It's all good.
What about you, Lauren?
For me, growing up in Baffin's Pond is one of my favourite places, especially in like the spring and the summer, walking the dog round. Just feel very chilled around there.
Nice and relaxing.
And then also, I am a greedy girl, so my other favourite place is Sousy Coffee. I like a nice coffee and a cake, or one of their Sousy buns.
Can't go wrong with coffee and a cake.
No,
as we said earlier, coffee and a chat, and a cake.
Yeah, God, I love it. Those are my favourites.
Amazing. Well, so thank you for coming on, guys. It was lovely speaking to you and chatting away to
you.
Thanks for having us.
If anyone would like to get involved in the next Employability Academy at the end of October, please do feel free to either reach out to Lauren and Kev or reach out to Shaping Portsmouth through the info at email or via our website. Have a nice day, guys.
This podcast was brought to you by Shaping Portsmouth, working to make Portsmouth the number one UK city in which to invest, live, learn, work and visit. To find out more, please visit shapingportsmouth.co.uk. This podcast was supported by Spark Community Space and Portsmouth Community Lottery.